Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Defense! All the hard work, let's go!
College football today.
Roaring into Championship Saturday right here on College Football Today, brought to you by BetDSI, Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, Gabe Morenci, and Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk. We just broke down Clemson and Pittsburgh. Guys, I don't see any way Clemson doesn't not cover this matchup. I think they roll, lay in the 27 and a half, 28. I think they win by 30 or more.
Yeah, I agree. I'm all over Clemson today. I'm not really out on a limb on this pick, but I just don't see where the fight comes from Pittsburgh. The one thing they did well this year was run the ball with Kadri Allison and Darren Hall. This is not a team you're going to run against. So I think 30 plus for Clemson as well.
I'm rolling with Clemson as well. I think it was a month ago. They were, going into Florida State to play that huge matchup and didn't know what Trevor Lawrence was going to be like on the road. Well, I know what he's like on the road. I understand the kid has ice water in his veins. I think this is one of those games where Dabo, he's taking the pulse of his team and he's making sure that they're ready going forward. There's no fall off in this game for them. I think they cover, and the over is definitely in play.
You know, the one thing with Clemson over the years, at least for betting purposes, guys, and we'll take the X's and O's out of this, is that Clemson have had overinflated lines and they've struggled as road favorites. Now this isn't a road game, but you know they're 20 point favorites right now. Just for the record, 2-10 against the spread as ACC chalk of 20 or more. But with that being stated, I'm going to throw all these trends out the window right now. Clemson, you're just on another level. And what happened 8 years ago doesn't matter. I think they're going to smash them. You know, I wish I could tell you, you know, there's a Cinderella and win one for the Gipper and all that crap, but it ain't happening, man. We're looking at a 51-3, 51-7, 51-10.
It's going to look like the It's going to look like the Pitt Penn State or the UCF game.
Yeah, they're going to roll them.
And in terms of trends, I wanted to throw out to you real quick. Last 11 times Clemson has played outside of their home stadium, 10-1 against the spread. Last 7 games this year, they have not failed to cover. They're 6-0-1 against the spread. So this is a team that's not only winning, they're winning even beyond Vegas' expectations.
2-10 against the spread is conference chalk of more than 20 points in their last 12 games. That's for a point spread, but what does that matter?
Yeah, you have conflicting.
No, they're going to drill him, dude. It's too much. You guys broke it
from the numbers. Gabe, we say it a lot of weekends. Would you feel comfortable taking your hard-earned money?
No.
And laying it on Pitt.
Not on this one. And
not even on Pitt, on Kenny Pickett.
And no, it should be for the record, though, if you remember, Joe, before the year started, I said Pitt over 5.5 wins was one of my best bets of the year.
Yeah,
and they got to 7. As you stated, they got tattooed by Miami. They already accomplished what they wanted. Narduzzi was on the hot seat. They needed to get to a bowl game. He surpassed that. They get to 7. I think, you know, right now, I think they're just showing up. This is sort of like, you know, one of the you know, the boxer that's showing up for the paycheck. They're showing up to get punched in the face and say hi to their kids on ESPN tonight.
This is like an FCS, FBS opener.
Yeah, it's a paycheck game.
Yeah,
you're going to know early if Pitt cannot run the football. Let's say first three series. If they cannot run the football, going to know early. This game is going to get out of hand.
You called it
so fast.
Setting the stage, because like you said, they were trying to find themselves. Now they want a peak. And you know, Dabo knows these guys ain't going to be off the field for another month right now.
Right.
You go out strong. I'm telling you, I bet you Dabo's telling them, I want to see our best performance of the year today. I want to kill these guys, maul these guys. Like you said, win every battle so we're focused and confident for the next month leading into the playoffs.
And to Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl in all likelihood. is probably what we're looking at next. Clemson,
yeah, which
Notre
would
Dame.
Be a pretty good matchup. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing that because it's a contrast.
Have we ever seen that? I'd have to look it up.
But that's why, as a Michigan fan,
they did play 2 years ago. Three years ago, it was in Death Valley.
Yeah, yeah.
It was when Kaiser was the quarterback. It was in the rain. Clemson built a big first half lead, and then Kaiser came back. Had an opportunity. I believe Clemson won that matchup by 2 points, 3 points. Late. I think they covered
Kaiser
somehow.
Deshaun.
It was
Kaiser.
Deshaun Kaiser led the comeback. But it was rain. It was a wet track.
As a Michigan, I remember that game. As a Michigan fan, though, guys, I'm not overly crying about this. We would have been in the four spot against Bama.
You wanted that, though.
I didn't want to get killed by Alabama.
You can't say that. As a player, you want...
But let's just be real. I'm being a realist. It would have led to disappointment. I'm a realist, yo. That's what happened. People ask me, how come you're not going to San Antonio for the Villanova-Michigan title game? I said, I don't want to be on a plane flying back after a loss.
All right. I buy that. Well, 12 o'clock games, there's some intriguing battles. I'm going to turn my attention to... I like two underdogs today. Virginia Tech... is looking to become bowl eligible. Got a lucky win against Virginia last week. Somehow, some way, they won that matchup. Didn't deserve to win that ball game, but I'm taking the better defense here with the Thundering Herd. They're catching 3.5. I like them on the money line as well. Give me Marshall in the upset over Virginia Tech. And then I like UAB against Middle Tennessee State. Both teams played last week. Middle Tennessee State dominated 27-3, but UAB's quarterback was out for 3 games, played very inconsistent in the first game back. This is still a defense allowing only 166 passing yards per game, 46 total sacks. Give me UAB in the outright win.
And our buddy Bill Clark just got a big contract extension.
And not only
deservedly
that, in a
so.
Revenge type of situation with another, you know, after
it's a,
losing
it's
that
a fascinating game because
he's a great head coach.
We'll get into it in more detail in a bit, but UAB, after getting just, you know, housed last week by Middle Tennessee, you wonder, were they playing possum last week? Now home field was at stake, though,
game
for this game.
Could have been a little vanilla. Early did not play well. He completed 9 of 20 for 90 yards and an interception.
I love Middle Tennessee. I love some of the players on Middle Tennessee.
Right, I love the way
that staff develops next-level talent.
Stock's still very good.
In Murfreesboro, there are kids that are complete off-the-radar prospects from the South. They're undersized. They've never really been developed physically or from a coaching standpoint, and Rick Stockstill's doing a good job. My quick best bets for 12 o'clock, I like NC State, mainly because I don't see – East Carolina just fired Scotty Montgomery.
No.
So they're using an interim coach for this one game that means absolutely nothing. To me, this is an NFL audition for players like Ryan Finley and that physical offensive line of NC State. I know it's a lot of points for a game that has no meaning, but East Carolina just got thumped by Cincinnati 56-6. I don't think there's any heart left in these kids, so I'll take NC State. And one of my best bets, I'd love to get everybody else's opinion, and I know we'll segue into it, but I like Texas. I think Texas is a live dog, and I think they have a shot to upset Oklahoma. Love Kyler Murray, but, you know, Texas is a team.
It's up to 9.5 right now.
Yeah, I would take those points.
Well, there's people saying
it just keeps climbing.
They're going to have to throttle. As a player, and you've been in the situation, played at San Diego State when BYU was the guy, you know, they were the big boy on the block. You went in there, you went into Provo, you went toe-to-toe with those type of opponents. As a player, what's the mindset when you go into a matchup, especially as an underdog, knowing that you defeated this team earlier in the year by 3 points?
I like Texas in this game because it means more to them. Oklahoma, they're thinking about playoffs, moving on, other stuff. For Texas, this game is big for them. Like, this is... biggest game of the year for them thus far. So I feel like Texas definitely will cover. And this is one of those games. Mentally, when you are where you are as a player, when you were talking about coming into games like that, it's so easy for a coach to get his team focused. We're underdogs. We beat this team already. It was a great game. We made the plays to win. And now we're under. You can sell this to your team. It's easier to sell this. It's easier for Herman to sell this to Texas than to get Oklahoma up and ready to play a team that beat them already. But we're favored. It messes with you psychologically. You almost feel like, well, we should win this game. But we lost the last one.
You know, one thing, guys, too, and I don't know if Martino, I sent the best bets. Do we have our page up? But I was going to say, a lot of these rivalry games, they're not really rivals. You know what I mean? Like, Alabama, for the most part, dominates Auburn. Ohio State, for the most part, dominates Michigan. Texas and Oklahoma, these are close games, guys. You know, what, we got a three-point game this year, five-point game the year before, five-point game the year before that, seven-point game, five-point game. We have to go all the way back to 2013 to get a differential of double digits between these two teams. I'm getting Tom Herman, who's 12-1 against the spread as an underdog in his career, going back to those Houston games against Florida State and everybody winning the bowl games. I'm getting 12-1, 9-4 outright. All the pressure on the world on Oklahoma. Texas playing with house money, only his second year, might get him a Big 12 championship. Right in the mix right now. They're about to take over the state of Texas again. And I think Oklahoma are going to win a football game, guys. But, you know, we can backdoor this, man. If Oklahoma are up by 14 late, we score a touchdown, we get in this. I just think, you know, this is like the Hatfields and the McCoys. They're just too similarly, evenly matched. And you know, the pure hatred between these kids is going to be an equalizer. Close football game. I think Oklahoma win a close game. And I'm going to be betting the over of this game.
Oh, you got to go over.
Yeah, I think it's going to track me.
Yeah.
Track me.
Really? You think it'll be under?
Both of these defenses are at a disadvantage. Yeah. But I like Texas. I think Texas defense will make more plays. Oklahoma's defense is just pedestrian.
They are.
Sometimes it's like, what are you doing out there?
West Virginia, like two plays sometimes last week. Will Grant, ding.
I don't know if I could so take crazy. The over here. And granted, I'm all in on Texas today. I agree with you 100%. I think Texas, though.
This is the highest total that we've ever had between these two teams.
Without a doubt. And for argument's sake, I mean, we know why. I mean, Oklahoma's scoring at will. When I watched Texas over the last couple of weeks against teams like Iowa State, Kansas, slowing down the tempo, running the football. And so I wonder.
Yeah, but what happened, Joe? What happened? I was going to say that. What happened when they play the other spread type of offenses?
Oh, no.
West Virginia.
Totally
42-41, 83 right. points. But Oklahoma State, they got baited into a 73-point style game.
I totally agree. But I think when he lost that game, Herman lost that game to Will Grier, he allowed Will Grier to beat him. He knows his team still isn't built that way with Ellinger.
I don't think he's going to have a choice, though, Joe.
He doesn't. Right. Yeah. This is not. This is not the game.
You think so? Into a track meet.
Yeah. Because even if they run the ball, Texas is going to run the ball. They're going to run the ball for a 16-yard chunk.
Yeah.
It's just going to. Yeah.
There's nothing like winning a time of possession and looking up at the scoreboard and having less points. Yeah. And with Texas, I mean with Oklahoma, because they can strike fast. I mean they can strike really fast. You cannot play around. You have to score on this is that game. You have to try to score on every possession. And I'm telling you, I've been in these games. There's nothing harder than when there's two offenses and you know you have to score. And let's say you have to punt or kick a field goal.
You're on the Rams, so you feel the pressure like
you do.
Like a Chiefs Rams game. You're like, damn, you got to do this again, again.
Exactly. And it comes down to who's going to blink first. Like, who's going to, which offense is going to turn the ball over, which offense is going to, or which defense is going to steal a possession. It comes down to that because defense in this game, it's going to be a track meet.
It's not stops, right? I mean, it's more about turnovers than stops.
Right.
I don't think it's third down defense.
Put it like this. A three and out will feel like it'll feel like a turnover.
A turnover. Right. Yeah.
It will definitely feel like a turnover.
Like an extra possession.
If you go three and out, that'll feel like a turnover in this game.
So do you go for it more so than taking the three?
I'm gonna say this.
Touchdowns to win this game. You need touchdowns to win this game.
A long field goal in this game is like, oh yes, we scored. If you're inside the 30 and it's anything less than like
six or less,
you got to go on fourth down. Yeah. You cannot give the ball back.
Three and giving the ball to Kyler Murray. After,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And to Marshall's point, that's what Texas did against Oklahoma State in Taylor Cornelius. They took field goals, and that's why they lost that matchup. So it cost them by 3 points. I think you'll see Texas be more aggressive because they're the underdogs. They have nothing to lose. They're 9-3. Where are they going? There's no obviously the Big 12 championship.
Sure.
But if they're on the 35 with a 4th-and-2, they're going for it.
I love Marshall's point too, because obviously it matters to Oklahoma. We know that. They're going for a playoff spot, but Oklahoma has won the last 3 Big 12 titles, and it's a little harder to motivate that team. Texas.
The last 3 or the last 30, it feels like.
Yeah, it does feel like that, doesn't it?
I know.
But for Texas and Tom Herman, this is a
huge.
This is a crossroads moment. Yep. If we've been saying, is Texas back? Everybody's been saying that.
Can you imagine, Rich, winning the Big 12, but against Oklahoma?
Exactly.
It's
beating Oklahoma.
Cherry on top?
On top. Oh, yeah.
Well, and
a Texas-sized cherry on top. I saw a thing. They would be the first. They would be the first Texas team to beat Oklahoma twice in a season since 1903.
Yeah, I was going to say early 1900s.
Except.
Yeah.
They never played twice in one year.
It's kind of deceptive. It's only the second time, only the third time they played them two times in a season since 1903 and 1901.
That's like saying Pittsburgh has never lost to Clemson in the history of college football because they played twice.
Right, and Matt Canada was the OC. And
but listen, for Texas, you can't
underestimate the fact that you can't draw it up any better, though, like for both of them. For Oklahoma to get revenge, go to the playoff, or for Texas to win and to do it to beat Oklahoma. It's a great game.
Wish it wasn't a 12 o'clock Eastern game. This is a game that should be like primetime.
No, but they always play. That's the time of the Red River Shootout. So I think it's fitting.
We can't break tradition for this?
No, no.
If Marshall played in the Big 12.
You're a traditionalist.
Get off my lawn.
Paul, he would have crushed records if you would have played in the Big 12 back in the day. Think about it.
Well, looking at the Big 12, it looks like the old Western Athletic Conference, the old WAC that we played in.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it looks like.
Marcus Harris, did you play against Wyoming and Marcus Harris?
Don't get him started.
That's when they had Fennis Dembo back in basketball.
I remember Fennis Dembo.
Man.
But don't get me. I love Marcus Harris.
I remember being like Wyoming, going to Wyoming.
That's it. Laramie.
There's like the football field is here, and when you kick on one end of the end zone, like the ball lands on top of a church. We used to go. The grass was a foot high. I'm like, why is the grass so long here? They do all kinds of
stuff.
They
try to slow you down, man.
Oh, yeah. Water the field down. Laramie.
Still didn't work.
Good old Laramie. I remember being a young, degenerate gambler in Hollywood. Late 80s, buying the gold sheet, and Dan McGuire was the quarterback of SDSU.
We'll be right back. Keep it where it is.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
We are just rolling right to the 12 o'clock kickoff of the Big 12 Championship. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, Guy Morenci, and Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk breaking it down. We talked about the
Hall of Famer Corey Hart in our ears right now, too.
Yeah, well,
right, Gabe?
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Probably not. He's not a Hall of Famer.
It might be in the Canadian Music Hall of Fame.
Who is that? Mr.
Well,
oh, it's Mr.
Well,
I don't have headphones on, so what is it? Broken Wings?
Yes. There you go.
Broken Wings.
Pretty good, right? You just named a band, Rich, and boom, I tell you the song. I'm not even listening.
Very good, actually. Yeah.
Well, I know they don't. That's like their only hit.
You're like a human Shazam app.
Ask me anything.
Well, I'm going to ask you who you like in Virginia Tech. Marshall, I'm all over Marshall here. Better defense, Isaiah Green, Tyree Brady. This is a kid in Brady that stepped up last week, Rich, 45 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns. Does have 64 receptions on the year. But I look at the defense. Marshall only allowing around 324 total yards per game. Last week against Bryce Perkins, that Virginia Tech defense still broke down. They're giving up 204 on the ground. I know they need this game, but I don't have a lot of confidence in Willis. I think the Thundering Herd get the outright victory here.
Yeah, solid road dog, Marshall.
Yeah, 3.5.
All season long, 4-1 on the road this year. And I think it matters more to Marshall.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I like the Thundering Herd as well. Love that defense. Offense has disappointed me this year. When I think of Marshall historically, I think of Chad Pennington, Byron Leftwich.
Rakeem Cato.
That's another great example. CFL legend, Rakeem Cato. So, you know, they haven't had that quarterback play this year. I thought it would be Alex Thompson, the Wagner transfer. Heard a lot of good things from scouts about him. Didn't happen. But defensively, you know, Virginia Tech's been schizophrenic. We talked about it with Ohio State. You know, which Virginia Tech shows up. How much does it matter? I'll throw this to Marshall. I know it's hard for you to play psychiatrist here, but for a Virginia Tech team that, you know, wants to win the Coastal, but now is 5-6, need to get to a bowl game. I know there's a streak at stake, but how much do the kids want that additional game, do you think?
You want it. And you want your kids to get to a bowl game. You need that 6th win. But I'm with you guys in what Marshall has been able to do. Virginia Tech just they don't look the same. They are missing key components, and when there are special teams, that was a team that, okay, offensively they're good, defense, special teams, they were always special. It was like they, you knew you were going to get something
or Beamer something.
Ball. Yeah, but this game, as most games come down to, it's controlling the line of scrimmage, and when you look at Marshall defensively, they're fifth at stopping the run. So now you put all the onus on Virginia Tech to try to throw the football, which they've had trouble with all year.
Yeah.
So I like Marshall in this game as well.
Listen, Virginia Tech cost me a lot of money earlier in the year, guys. Like literally thousands of dollars.
That was horrible.
Are you going to start every?
Yes.
I'm starting to wonder now. Do you like gamble to lose, or like, is it even gambling?
No,
for
people.
You?
People don't want to hear about the wins. I don't like to brag, Marshall. I'm not going to sit here and tell you about the wins. All right? I was on the Washington Huskies last night. If we want to talk about
there you
that.
Go. There you go. Yes.
No, where I'm going with this,
I need to know because I'm listening to you. I need to know I'm getting good information. Like,
we keep telling you about all the losses. Yeah, yes. We lost this game. Hey, we keep it real here, man.
Like, is this gambling or just losing? Like,
you want to hear some losses? Wait till we do the NFL show tomorrow, and our boy Corey's back in the studio. All right, but all kidding aside, here
he's coming in hot. He's coming in hot with a Cowboy win. He's coming in hot tomorrow.
But hey, we talked about it last week, guys. We said, "Oh, Virginia can't beat Virginia Tech. They're never going to do it." Well, I think that win. I think it does matter. We're talking about a bowl streak, guys, of 24 straight years. I think they get it done here. Marshall are good. It's a nice story. I respect what you guys are talking about their defense. They're also 1-10 the last 11 games against ACC teams. Yeah. They've lost 8 straight games to Virginia Tech before. I get it. Marshall are good. I do believe Virginia Tech want this. It's a short number. I think the Hokies get it done.
Yeah, the one thing I'll just bring up about this game is how they won last week. Like, they were down and out with a minute left. They were down 31-24. Willis threw the ball up. Somehow, some way, they gave up that big play. They get the fumble in the end zone. They fall on it. And then Bryce Perkins really was leading the team and fumbled the football. And credit, you know, that defense for making plays, but they stole one. Now it's like, oh, we got this. I, you know, from an emotional standpoint, we didn't play our best, but we got it. And they're going in a little fat. And that's the only reason why I like Marshall here.
That's what I'd be selling my team. I would be selling my team on that. Guys, we found a way to win a game when we were not playing our best. Just imagine if we play our best. You go out and play so free when you still won like that. The next week you go out and you play free. You just have to make sure you don't make those same mistakes. Now, if you make those same mistakes, you're like, oh, boy, can we get away with this one? But I just have a funny feeling that Marshall's going to come out and dominate this ball game because of what you said. when they've played these teams, they've not won many of these games. Yeah. I think this is that next step for them as a program to prove to people like we are for real.
Yeah, isn't it kind of strange too, these makeup games? I have a hard time sort of getting a feel for where the mindset is. Kid on Va Tech probably is friends with a kid on Clemson.
Yeah.
Probably knows guys on Pitt. Thinking, damn, I should have went there. Man, I'm getting dressed. I got to go play Marshall here in the cold, really? We're 5-6. You know, Fuente's yelling at us because we suck. You know what I mean? Like
I like it more when they gave the scholarship to him and I had to go. Now we get to face each other.
Yeah.
That's when it really gets interesting because sometimes you're on a recruiting trip with the guy who committed.
That has to be a lot in the Texas Oklahoma stuff.
Yes,
where it's almost like a chick, man. She picked him instead of me, right?
I went
visited Oklahoma and he took him instead.
Funny story. I'm at Texas A&M. I'm sitting down getting ready to meet with R.C. Slocum.
I get ready to meet with R.C. Slocum.
A guy walks past me, walked out of the office. I walk in. I sit down with R.C. Marshall, I say, Coach, you know, I want to play running back. He's like, Marshall, he's like, listen, if you come here, you're going to play as a freshman in our secondary. And as a sophomore, you're going to start at corner for us. That's how good you are, and that's what we think of you. I said, Coach, but I want to play running back. He said, well, I can't lie to you. The guy that just walked out before you walked in, that was Mr. Texas. He rushed for 2,500 yards last year in high school in the state of Texas, and he just committed to come here. This guy and I, we bumped heads throughout our career from that day on. Not only did we bump heads, when I got traded to the Rams, we were sitting next to each other in my first meeting, and he looked at me and said, there's not enough football here for the both of us. And 3 weeks later, he got traded to the Detroit Lions.
Greg Hill.
Wow.
Nice.
How about nice call, EC.
Greg Hill. But I'll tell you this. He's got me pumped up for A&M football. His former teammate, Quentin Corion.
Oh, yeah.
Good call. Give me a helmet. I'm telling you.
I gotta tell you right now.
Give me the helmet right now.
I love the fact that Marsh is in the Hall of Fame. And good job, RC. Good job, Coach.
RC, he didn't say I could not play running back.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
he just said why I couldn't play running back for him. In the recruiting world in Texas football, you get Mr. Texas.
That's it.
The guy who ran for 20 to commit to you. You're going to get a bunch of other kids. Mm. So I got it. I understood. I understood. It was just personal with Greg and I. Sure. And not like we disliked each other.
Just competitive.
Just competing. Yeah. We came out. We were in the same draft. It was weird. He was in Kansas City. I was in Indianapolis.
You couldn't escape him your whole life.
He gets traded to the Rams. The next year, I got traded to the Rams. It was just.
Did you think about it when you got traded to the Rams?
Oh, yeah.
Did it cross your mind?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Right
oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. When we sat down in that first meeting, and we looked at each other. We remember seeing each other.
I'm almost laughing.
At Texas A&M.
It reminded me almost.
Did you hang with Mike Bucky Tyson Richardson there when on the recruiting visit? Me and Bucky Richardson are going out. Robert Wilson's a personal friend. I know him well.
Oh,
back
man.
In the Dolphins. So, you know, that's I'm all amped up about 1990s football.
But those A&M, stories, man. Those things, like these kids, it matters. When a kid commits and you have, whether you're one, two, or three, or you four or five star, and they give that scholarship to somebody else, because they got to let you know, hey, look, that scholarship's gone.
Hey, listen, it's been driving Baker Mayfield, isn't it? At times I wonder, what's this kid's problem? How come he doesn't shut up? But he just uses the sense of, you know, well, I was overlooked.
It drove him so well that he went to the school that wouldn't let him play and proved to them, I am going to be the best player you've ever had play this position. Take that.
Well, and with Baker, it's legitimate. And what I like what Marshall brings up is There's things that, unless you're deeply involved with it, the egos, the
competitors, oh man,
you're never going to know about that. It transcends X's and O's.
But that's what makes these guys so great.
Yeah.
You have to have that competitive edge and care that much.
And
I always talk about
it.
You
could never coach that. That's something that is instilled.
No, you can't. It's instilled.
It is instilled.
It's like the Golden State Warriors fighting, right? Oh, they have problems. I said, they don't have problems. I said, you'll never see, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers aren't fighting after. They don't care. Right? Winning teams are, guys that care are going to fight. I'm sure you're one of your championship teams in the Rams. I'm sure there were some disagreements when guys got into it, right?
You step out of line or you do something to cause a game. Or let's just say, there's always those couple of guys on a team, they're the knucklehead. Like, they're the guy that's, horn blows, and now you're walking onto the field instead of already being on the field, warming up, getting ready, or the guy that gets the face mask or the personal foul on special teams to put the defense or the offense in a bad situation. There's always those guys, and as a leader, you have to find a way to police them before they make those mistakes. And sometimes fighting occurs. And I'm gonna tell you this. I've seen a different Kevin Durant since what happened with Draymond. If you look at the dynamic, like, Durant is actually being more assertive than I've ever seen him since he's been with the Warriors. It's done. If Draymond was out to do something, he did it.
So sometimes conflict is positive.
And a lot of kids have never been challenged, especially in this day and age when you go back to their high school careers. They've been fed that they're unstoppable.
Oh, the coddling don't stop.
12 or 13 years old. Yeah. They've never been challenged.
I see that with the Jaguars, actually. I see that with the Jags, sort of. A lot of guys just sort of, man, it's not going my way. And, you know, just sort of tuning everything out, going in your own direction, right? That's when you start punching people. And that's just selfish stuff.
Yeah.
Selfish stuff. Like, a winning team doesn't accept that crap, right?
No. Every position and everybody on a team you can handle like that except the quarterback. You can't he's delicate. You can't treat him like
you don't mess with him.
You gotta leave him.
Richard Sherman needs to learn that.
The kicker. Yes.
Nice. The kickers.
You gotta leave those guys alone.
The kicker.
I mean, and it blows my mind when you think about it, and I don't care what level it is. A quarterback can't have competition. He can't know that there's another quarterback. It messes with their mind.
But
everyone else is fair game.
Everyone else fumbled
the ball, Marsha. You're not getting it next. Yeah,
exactly. But that position, you cannot. There can't be a question about who your quarterback is. Mm. That's just that they can't handle competition. And I'm talking about, I don't care who it is. I don't care how great
at
the
any
quarterback,
level.
At any level.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking Hall of Famer. You cannot put somebody else in their meeting room that's capable of doing the job. I mean, it bothered Joe Montana. Think about it. Steve Young, it bothered.
There was friction.
I don't care who it is. They are alpha, and they want to know.
Remember, Doug Flutie didn't like any of the other quarterbacks in the room.
Well, and think about what Pittsburgh keep doing to Ben. You keep talking about retirement. We're going to keep bringing young guys in to see who, and they found their next guy. Ben hasn't, and he recognized that this young kid is for real. Ben hasn't mentioned retirement, not playing, what, nothing. He hasn't said one thing. They got rid of the offensive coordinator, brought a new guy in. If you think about the transition from when they brought Haley in, from when Arians was there, it was tough. He was throwing interceptions. None of that.
Yeah.
None of that.
One alpha is Urban Meyer. That possibly might step down at the end of this year. If they lose tonight in the Big Ten championship game against Northwestern, do you think that's inevitable?
I think if Urban is looking to retire, it's going to happen regardless of what happens in Indianapolis tonight. I don't know what that decision.
I don't have any insight, obviously, but I get the feeling he's going to tap out.
I think he'll tap out.
If what they say that he's trying not to yell.
Yeah,
because the tumor or whatever that's in his head, it's causing you can't coach the way you want to coach. I mean, you can't. And I'm gonna say this, and I don't know if it's true or not. because they just look different. The edge that they normally play with, that they played with against Michigan, that was missing for most of the year with that team.
They don't have the swagger.
Yeah.
Or that nastiness about
them. I think Nick Bosa, his departure had a lot to do with
that.
I think it did. Lose a team leader.
I get the feeling, too, and I don't like mixing this stuff, but it's reality. I almost get the feeling when I look at Urban and everyone, it's like someone is sort of on trial and there's evidence coming. You know what I mean? I get the feeling that there's more to come.
Can we be the first show to like spin it forward? Okay, he's gone. Is Texas in trouble? Do they lose their head coach?
No, I'll tell you.
It's
going to be Ryan Day.
If it's Ryan Day,
which Ryan Day?
If this
would be the successor,
if it is Ryan Day, Jim Harbaugh is like, oh yes, we are winning the recruiting war. Because if Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh come sit down, you're losing that. That's a recruiting. You're going to lose that.
You're thinking Tom Herman possibly.
Yeah,
yeah, Herman.
You have to.
I would bet money on Ryan Day.
If they go Day, Jim Harbaugh and all of Michigan. They are like, thank God, because the recruiting war will be won by Michigan and Harbaugh without, if you put a Ryan Day, if you sit him down and have him talk to these parents, I mean, just because of the lack of a resume.
Keep it where it is. Sense. We'll come back. We'll be picking up the Big Ten championship game.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
We're shouting, shout, who is it, Gabe? Shout, let it on. Who is that? Tears for Fears, as Gabe is coughing up Tears for Fears, I think.
I didn't know we were back.
We're back. I'm going to need you as my
Tears for Fears. I didn't even
own a friend.
Shout, let it all out.
We wore that song
These out back are the things that we dream about. Come on. Yeah.
I'm talking to you.
Come on.
Come on. All right. Let's talk a little Daily Roto as we inch closer to the Gabe's laughing at us. Joe's laughing at us. Daily, we're talking college football today.
Joe listens to dance music.
Conference championships, but it is also, gentlemen, it's also NBA season, and the DailyRoto.com NBA lineup optimizer is now available. Yes, it is available. That means that you can use the same tools and projections that Daily Roto.com NFL premium subscribers are using to win each week for NBA DFS contests. DailyRoto.com has produced 7 separate FanDuel and DraftKings multi-million dollar tournament winners and millions more in cumulative prizes. If you're playing daily fantasy sports and you aren't using the Daily Roto tools, projections, and optimizers, you're doing it all wrong and you're at a competitive disadvantage. So go to DailyRoto.com. Click on Go Premium, enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount, and start winning right now. That's DailyRoto.com. Click on Go Premium and enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today because it's holiday season.
We've got updates with BetDSI's numbers right now. Ton of live movement. The action's starting to come in. We're about 16 minutes away from kickoff. Texas and Oklahoma. The total has just crossed the 80 barrier. We're up to 80.5 right now as far as the total is concerned. BetDSI sitting at Oklahoma -9. We got line movement with App State and Lafayette. App State, this game actually kicks off at noon, guys. App State are now 17.5-point favorites. The total is 55.5. The total has gone up to 63.5 in the Georgia-Alabama game. Bama are still 12-point favorites. A lot of movement in this Fresno-Boise game, guys. Been bouncing around all day and all night. Right now, Boise are -1.5, 51.5 right there. And the screen's flashing red, which means alert, alert, alert. Money keeps coming in on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Ohio State Buckeyes are now 16-point favorites in tonight's football game.
Wow. A couple of 12 o'clocks that we're going to get into quickly. East Carolina, NC State. I like East Carolina. Rich likes NC State. I like App State. Laying 17,
I do too.
17 yeah. points. Yeah, I do too. This spread was 25 when they met earlier in the year. They won that matchup by 10 points, but I'll still take the better defense with App State only giving up 122 rushing yards and 155 through the air.
Give me the Cajuns.
Zach Thomas, you're taking the points?
Give me the points.
I'll take Zach Thomas.
It's too many points, I think. Yeah. I think App State win the game, but I don't want to lay this many points.
Yeah, one thing I'll say is the Cajuns, the one thing I do like, I like App State in this game, but the Cajuns twice went on the road at Appalachian State, at Troy, and in both cases lost by just 10 points. So they have been competitive. Yeah. I'm with you, though. Defensively, they're suffocating. One of the better group of five defenses.
Lafayette have won 4 of their last 5 games, have beaten some pretty good teams, and I think they can hang around in this game.
I just want to throw out, too, two really good young coaches that are going to be coveted at some point, maybe not this year, but Scott Satterfield.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
And Billy Napier at UL Lafayette.
Yeah, and just one more. You know I'm friends with Coach Bowden. I'm not going against Akron on the road against South Carolina. Catching 30. They have had some quarterback issues. Bentley and the crew.
Have you ever gone against Akron?
No. I know him personally. I would suggest, don't
ask me. With a personal relationship, you can't have
that. No, I would never pick against them. I'm a team player. I don't care if they're
playing.
I don't care if they're playing the rims. It should be like
politics. You're going to need to recuse yourself from talking about it.
No, because I'm a good guy. True, right. I'll take my
pick. You do that, and then you end up getting fired.
Yeah. See? But don't I'm a team player. That's
hey, the Zips did cover last week.
Barely.
We were getting 23. They lost by 20.
Nelson's back, and again, they're going to have to shorten the game.
Well, South Carolina, the one thing I'll say is South Carolina's secondary is absolutely banged up. They're beginning to use running backs like A.J. Turner in the secondary, and I would take the points, too, simply because South Carolina, obviously far more talented team, but South Carolina hosting the Zips at this point, I don't know how motivated
they are. Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
There's more to Akron.
If you're a South Carolina Gamecock kid, you're like, who we played this week? The Akron who? What?
Who did we play last week?
The Mac? Are you got to be kidding me? On the same day, the SEC Conference Championship's going on?
Exactly. Ugh. How about this? Coaching advantage. You got Terry Bowden from the Bowden lineage versus Will Muschamp. Huh? No?
I'm going with your boy.
I'm going with my boy.
You know I'm not a big Will guy at all.
I'm just saying, to cover the 30 points, give me Coach Bowden.
I would take
plus
the points.
Plus, Coach Bowden, I'll just say this. Coach Bowden loves opportunities against Power 5 programs. He knocked off Northwestern earlier part of this year. And again, in these games, from a talent perspective, might not have the best talent, but he always has his teams prepared.
And quality defense, too, by the way.
Yeah, and you know he's selling his team on, I know what they're thinking. Here's what they're saying about you.
Right.
This is what you need to do. We can win this game. Like, he has the resume to say that. And these kids will go out there and play hard. Now, winning the game, whole nother question. But definitely that they're in a position to cover.
Well, we say it a lot of times, too. Like, you know, this is their bowl game. We use that.
Yes.
Akron's 4-7. This is kind of their bowl game.
Yeah, exactly.
Their bowl game takes place in Columbia, South Carolina today.
I mean, we killed their bowl hopes. You had a freshman quarterback that for 3 games completed 25% of his passes.
And that's,
I mean, that's horrible.
As crazy as this sounds, if Will Muschamp lose this game, next year he's on the hot seat.
Yeah.
I mean,
he really will be.
Yeah.
One of these other weird games kicks off at noon, and you have to wonder about the interest level, and the weather's not going to be very good either, is the Drake.
I knew you were going to say that.
The Drake and Iowa State. Well, Iowa State, how interested are these kids? It's 41 points, guys.
I would lay it.
I gotta be in the spirit of candor. I have not done any research on Drake.
I didn't even know.
You know,
I thought you were talking about Drake, like the rapper Drake.
Drake.
I thought you were talking about
Drake. He got his own team.
Yeah, Drake's cake. Yeah, hate the Drake.
I thought he was talking about Seinfeld. With
yeah, exactly. Yeah, hate
we're
the Drake.
All over the map.
Drake, they have a better basketball program than they do.
Yeah, me too. I'm realizing that. You think of basketball?
Right. Is Drake, by the way,
could be in trouble considering that they beat Marist 2 weeks ago, 13-10 only.
Yeah, exactly. So I would lay the 41.5.
Which it's a lot of points in bad weather.
But if you're asking, unlike Iowa State, Iowa State didn't cover against K-State. They were laying like 14.5. They came back and dominated the fourth quarter. But I think they tattoo Drake Montgomery senior day. They're probably going to dominate this. I mean, Montgomery could rush for 300 yards in this match.
So really the only game at noon, because normally this is the time I'll throw the games at you guys. We've got some the FCS stuff, but the only real game at noon, we have Texas and Oklahoma. UAB, Middle Tennessee State's at 1:30 Eastern. Excuse me.
I like
Lafayette total. And App State is a noon kickoff.
I like the total in UAB, Middle Tennessee State. I want to get the guys' takes on it. In a rematch where it is a lower scoring game, where it was 27-3, it was dominated by Stockstill and the crew, you do have to make adjustments. And if they did make, let's say, have a vanilla type of game plan where Erdely coming back, I think they open it up here. Because, I mean, at this point, from an offensive perspective, they're going to need to score more than 3 points going up against Stockstill in that offense.
Well, the other big question mark is Spencer Brown. Yeah, Spencer Brown, their star running back, is not 100%. He's questionable for this game.
They need to run the football.
That entire backfield. Yeah.
Three offensive linemen, too, that are nicked up in that.
Yeah, it's a curious game because they just played last week. You know, Middle Tennessee dominated, like you said. UAB's had a great season. I don't know if UAB was motivated last week.
You can never.
It's hard to tell. I mean, you know, they knew that they had already wrapped up their division. Middle Tennessee needed to win and get help, and they got it. Love with both. I would take the under in this game.
Would you?
Yeah.
I would just take the over just because of, you know, going reverse of what happened last week. I mean, from a rematch perspective, Marshall, I mean, when you do play somebody and you lost, I mean, from a coaching perspective, what do you do in terms of game planning? I mean, obviously, you only scored 3 points. Do you switch it up or do you just say, this is what we do?
You run what you run
right.
To a degree, but you have to self-scout to understand where you have opportunities, because when you'll run stuff and you'll say, we normally get, that normally works. So they scouted us. They know that. So now you have to play off your own tendencies to take advantage of them doing their homework. That's why it's always good when you get two good teams that they're coordinated very well. So they then run stuff based off of their tendencies because they understand and respect that you are going to do your homework to take away X, Y, and Z. So this game should be high scoring because defense is it's just hard to play defense on any level of football anymore.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
In college, I'm telling you, I'm watching college football because of the whole targeting rule. Guys are not wanting to hit when they see a guy catch the ball or any manner. It's starting to look like flag football in a sense. And I don't want to end, so I understand what we're doing and what we're trying to do. We're trying to be cautious for the guys to protect them against themselves. But it's so hard to play defense. If you don't get a hand on the football, it's almost, you hope he drop it. Because you can't get it out. You can't defend the pass right now.
Guys aren't wrapping up. And that's why I really liked the Pac-12 championship game last night.
I kind of did too.
They allowed them to play a little bit. And when you see defensive backs that don't want to wrap up, especially in open space, that's why you get 60, 70 plays.
Yeah.
They're scoring in 7 seconds flat because nobody's wrapping up.
Yeah, and I didn't think about that, too. I mean, targeting is being called so liberally these days that I never thought about the mindset of a defensive player when he goes in to
overly
make a
protective,
stop.
Actually, I think it calls.
So think about it. You get called for targeting.
You're out.
And it's halftime. You got to miss two quarters of the next game, too. So that's your bowl game. If you're a senior, you're going to miss the first two quarters of the last game you play. It's just...
Why do quarterbacks
in the NFL throw for 400 yards every week, right? They know that I'm not going to get killed. This guy's not going to kill me. It's going to be a flag. He's not going to smoke me after I throw the ball. They're not nervous anymore.
Right. Touching the quarterback face mask should not be a penalty.
No. What do you mean? Like a slap? Like where they hit it down?
Like what happened to Dak.
Dak at the
end. That is...
Yeah.
You should just...
They should put some sensors on him, and when you touch him, his head light up. Sack.
Two-hand touch.
That's it. Sack.
Two-hand touch. Yeah.
Right. Wow. Forget about the flag. You got to copyright that, Marshall. You just came up with the future of football right there.
I've thought about this so often. So the quarterback, he's running towards the sideline. He's scrambling. He just threw the ball away. So negative yards. You know how many times I've wanted to do that?
Yeah.
Instead of take the loss.
Instead of take the loss.
Just get rid of it. That's it. I don't want to get hit.
I always thought that was kind of dumb. No, he's outside the tackle, so he can throw it in the 13th throw now.
Just think about it as a running back. When you're running to the sideline, the guy's coming to tackle you. You don't want to lose the 5 yards. You just chuck it out of bounds.
Yeah, I can't take it. It drives me nuts because as a defensive guy and you like defense, you want to set the tone. And the game is forcing offenses to dictate the tempo of every matchup. Unless you can outscore opponents, you can't dictate the tempo from a defense because you know if a guy's throwing for 400 yards, what do? We were taught you tattoo somebody, you stick a helmet in his chest. Can't do that now.
Yeah.
You can't go low. You can't go high. Where are you supposed to go?
It is remarkable where the game has gone.
It is. It is.
And it's changed the game. So, and listen, we all want players to be protected. We're all aware of CTE and the ravages that could take place. But, you know, the spearing that took place when we were growing up, that's not what we're even talking about.
Well, we just saw one. And I hope the Jalen Smith kid, he needs to watch film of himself playing. Because
he did leave his feet with that.
Yeah, that hit on Kamara that was not called. I mean, I just hope that the kid watches the film of himself. And I understand you. Yes, I understand you want to play a certain way and you want to be physical. But man, that hit. I mean, you can hurt someone else and you can hurt yourself. Sure. Most important, and I just, he needs to watch that. But the game, the competition committee, they got to do something to change to get this back to reel it in. As fun as the Kansas City Chiefs and the Rams game was, it was like, really?
It was like Madden.
I was like, are you serious?
And I'll use Oklahoma, West Virginia as an example, too. That, to me, was sort of like college's version of the Chiefs and the Rams. It wasn't just the lack of hitting and the poor tackling, but players were just completely out of position. I mean, I love Will Greer.
But what do you do as a defender? I'm telling you, once this defenseless receiver thing happened, the 80, 90, 100 catch receiver, it went up.
Mm.
And just watch what coordinators are doing. They call it the clear out guy. They'll run a guy through the middle really fast and then trail with another guy because that guy running really fast, everybody freezes because you don't want to hit him because he's defenseless. And the guy trailing, you throw him the ball.
Wide open. Yeah,
they've almost created like a fake sort of block out and pick play.
Yeah.
It's a pick play, isn't it?
Yeah, you're clearing
out. You send one guy out, you send the other guy, and they're screwed.
And there's nothing you can do about it. See, nothing.
That's why I like the college game a little bit more than the NFL in the sense of at least the pass interference is 15 yards as well. I mean, if you're good, I mean, because I can't stand giving an offense an opportunity on top of not being able to hit them anywhere. We're going to give them a 90-yard, you know, penalty or a 50-yard penalty that changes the game where we're not forcing them to work down the field in any capacity anymore.
Yeah. It's debatable, but on the flip side, you imagine in the National Football League if every freaking play.
But
man,
I also grew up
Julio
watching.
Julio Jones just pull his jersey.
I just want them to call offensive pass interference as much as they call defensive pass interference.
Which they don't.
Or the push-off. You know, in the Saints-Dallas game, if Amari Cooper reaches back in Lattimore and you push, the natural reaction for the DB is to not allow him to create separation and grab the hand. Like, you just can't allow what they're allowing. It's once again, so hard to play defense.
What do you think? I know we got to get out of here. We'll hit it on the other side. What do you think officiating is better in college or NFL? What do you think is the games are managed better?
I I think they're awful on both levels.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. And they don't want replay correcting them.
Yeah. It's intriguing. When we come back, we'll be picking up the 3:30 and 8 o'clock games. Keep it where it is.